Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Access All Areas with me, Stephen Leng. And again, what a treat. Another week with Bobby Norris.
Oh, thank you so much for having me back. I loved last week.
It was really fun, wasn't it? So I'm super happy to have you back. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, thank you. Really well. So excited. We've got some great guests lined up.
Yeah, we did.
A lovely little chat.
Yeah.
I feel like we put the world to rights last week.
We really did go through. There wasn't much we didn't cover last week, I think, to be honest. Yeah. But do you know what? We didn't until the very last minute say who the guests were last week. So I'm going to say it right at the beginning of the show today. Very exciting for any Drag Race UK fans. We have Cheryl Hole coming up. That is Cheryl Hole, not Cole, in case you were wondering if I missaid anything. Then we have Ian Waite, strictly former professional and now does all of the some of the routines. And then we also have Jess and Dom from Love Island. So yeah, it should be a wicked show.
Great little mix of reality TV in there.
It really is, isn't it? And then you as well, as the co-presenter. What more can we wish for?
It's the vibe. How have you been keeping since last week, though? You're good.
Yeah, I'm fine. I sadly did break my no drinking ban, but only for one day. So I feel like, and I've gone straight back on it. So
that's not too bad. One bad day is not end of the world. You can.
Yeah, that's all right. Although it does seem to have completely stunted any weight loss because I've lost half a pound in the following week after losing 5 pounds the week before.
Which next week you could have a really big one because that happens sometimes because
that
you
have
a real little loss and then the following week just plunge.
That is what my mum tells me, and she is a weight gain and weight loss expert. So, but yeah, what have you been up to?
So I went to see my boyfriend at the weekend. Went up to Reading, which was nice. Lovely, and yeah, just really nice barbecue. Just chill time. Now we can kind of see a few more people, starting to see a few new faces again, which is nice. Obviously all socially distanced in the garden. But no, just lovely. I think it was really lucky with the weather actually. I was expecting it to rain, but was lovely.
And then
come back to Essex yesterday.
So did it feel quite nice and normal? I think that's the nice thing at the minute, isn't it? It's starting to feel normal again.
There was this moment where I think a lot of us was a little bit like, do you know what, just for them few hours that we didn't even say the C word, there was just no mention of it. Because I think everyone in your head just assumed with what it is. And you subconsciously, you just know that you're keeping your distances from people and all that kind of stuff. But it was just nice to all sit around and just have conversations about things other than the virus.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and that's something that everyone's really appreciating now, because what are we, kind of four? So it was March when we, no, March, April, March. So April, May, June, July. We're nearly 4 months in now. And, you know, we've gone way past the first peak where, you know, things are doing well. But now the thing is, sorry to have to talk about it, but everyone's talking about wearing masks in shops, and we're all going to be having to do that in England from the 24th of July. They're already doing it in Scotland, and I think Wales is doing it shortly too. What do you think of that?
So I'm all for the masks. I mean, this probably sounds a little bit extra, but I've actually already started getting a collection of them.
Oh, good. I like to hear that.
Because I'm thinking, like, do you know what? It's almost going to have to go with the outfit. So I've got the black one, I've got a white one, I've got an orange one. So I've kind of just, I mean, not that they're an accessory, they're essential.
Well, they can be, though. They can be. I mean, you've got to wear one. So, you know, like you'd wear, I don't know, trousers, you know.
So you might as well accessorise with it and make sure it matches your outfit and that it all goes lovely.
I completely agree.
I've got a nice little mix. And I know a lot of people are kind of getting a little bit upset about it, saying, I don't want to have to wear it to the shop. I'm like, you know, if it helps us out, come on, we've got this far into it. If we all pull together and we all get through it, the sooner we kind of all get on this vibe and start seeing the numbers dropping, that
you'll get
through the other side. So if you've got a whack one on to go and get your cherry tomatoes, your mask on.
I think, well, that's the thing, right? It's not, they're not saying like, you know, wear one around the house or anytime you're outdoors, you know, it's just at shops. And I think culturally, we're just not used to it. And actually a lot of Asian countries have been doing it for decades, you know, so, and they're not suffering any kind of problems with their government or, you know, some right-wing conspiracy theory that everyone's being controlled Or they're going to, I read something earlier about how everyone's, not everyone, is worrying that they're not getting enough oxygen when they're breathing in through the masks. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I think, do you know what? It's not even so much about, and this is what people have to remember, it's not about just protecting yourselves wearing it, it's protecting other people when there are vulnerable people. So, do you know what? If it was someone in your family or one of your friends who was a bit vulnerable, you'd like to think that anyone that potentially had the risk of having this was wearing their mask. So
yeah.
I think, do you know what? Get a few little masks in your bag, mix it up, or if you just want to have the same colour, go for it. Like, just the weld your oyster with it. Who knows? Bling it up.
We could have
our own range of them. Nice fitted ones, Diamante ones.
Oh, I'd like that. I would like that. Although it might be a bit heavy. It might be like dragging on your face a bit.
That's true. Yeah. Might not be fit for purpose. But if it's still a thing at Christmas, we can put bells on, tinsel.
Oh, yes. I would actually be well up for that. I mean, actually, it probably will still be a thing at Christmas because there'll just be the flu going around then on top of everything else. So, you know, we'll have to...
We better jump on this quick because... Get on Dragon's Den because someone's going to steal the tinsel and the bells.
I think you're onto something there, Bob. I think you've got a business plan that that Deborah Meaden will want to hear about.
She'll be in.
She will definitely be in. I don't know if you've seen also, there's been a little bit of celebrity news happening recently. And actually, you probably have seen because it's about one of your friends, Gemma. It was top story on the Mail today. What she's broken up with Arj seemingly again, from what I can tell. This is not the first time. Have you heard from her? What's the score?
Do you know, I'll be so honest with you, Steve, because I love you. I actually haven't heard from her.
It was only today, so
the first I've heard of it was online. I'm sure she's got so much on her mind, and whatever's going on, her last thought is to pick up the phone and kind of be speaking to people about it. So I mean, it's really hard when it's two people you know well, when something happens. And obviously, as I say, I don't know the ins and outs. I only know what I've seen online. I just hope that they're both okay. Both doing well and both happy, whether that's together or not. I wish them well, you know. And it's sad when any relationship potentially breaks up or things like that happens. And like I say, when it's two people that you do know very well and you've worked with for many years, it's always sad.
Yeah, and, of course.
I hope they're both doing well. I hear she's on holiday at the moment, so that might take the sting out of it a little bit.
Yeah, I think it would for anyone. Is it weird when it is, this isn't just about Gemma, but obviously there's a lot of stories about Towie generally. Is it weird when it's like you can see what's happening and then you're reading it in the press? And I don't know, is that an odd thing? Because, you know, if my friends break up, no one's interested outside of our friendship group. But for you guys, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is a weird thing because you obviously, they're your friends, they're people that you work with, they're people that you know very well. And sometimes you know more than what you're reading, or you know that things might not always
be what they're seeing,
and it becomes a weird thing, and I completely get it, because I don't like a little bit of celeb goss and showbiz news, but the other side of the coin is that it's still people's lives and people's relationships, and whether you're in the public eye or not, it's never an easy thing to go through a breakup.
So,
it does become a weird thing because you kind of, you want to protect people, like, and...
Yeah, of course.
It becomes really hard. You know that everyone's always going to have their opinions and their comments on it. And of course, that's the
nature of the
game.
Of it. Yeah, definitely.
And so just sending out the positive vibes and whatever the outcome or the situation for both of them. I hope they're happy and okay.
Yeah, I agree. In slightly more crazy showbiz news, have you seen about Brooklyn Beckham getting engaged at 21? Oh my God,
can you believe it? I remember when he was in Vicky's belly.
I can literally remember him being born. This is insane.
Isn't it the maddest thing? I can't believe he's getting married before me. But no, what a lovely a really nice positive news story to kind of come out of some of the not such nice stuff that we've read about over the last few days.
But Bobby, I mean, you're being very positive here, but do you believe this is real? Because 21 years old, I didn't know my own name most of the time. I was so drunk. You know what I mean? I didn't. I was just coming out of university having the time of my life. I wasn't ready to be settling down. Do you really think that someone at 21 is ready?
I mean, different horses for different courses, but I generally don't feel, me personally, would have been ready to get married or engaged at 21. I don't think I was ready at 25. Probably not even by the time I got to 30. Do you know what I mean? It is very, very young, and not something we see that much of nowadays. I know, like, back in the day, that was kind of the done thing.
Yeah, I
was a little bit shocked. I thought it was fake news. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, really?
When I first heard, I thought, shut up, there's no way Brooklyn's gone and put a ring on it. But yeah, apparently so. You could just imagine the kind of wedding it would be. But maybe it'll be a really long engagement, like a 9 or a 10 year engagement.
Could be.
And be a little bit older. And I don't know. Who's to say, when the right person comes along, if you meet your soulmate, they say when you know, you know. And maybe he knows. But like you say, at 21, I didn't know a lot.
No, definitely not. And I think for someone like Brooklyn, maybe he's looking for it a bit more, maybe, because he's been famous since the day he was born, and maybe he really wants that anchoring of a person that can help him out with that. I mean, that's the only way I could see that it would be normal. But then I also read that Victoria and David are buying him a house for his wedding present, so...
Oh, good old Vicky and David.
Doing a bit.
I mean, that's got to be the perk of having the surname Beckham in it. Like, let's face it, when your mum and dad have got a couple of quid, they're going to buy you an house. So I don't begrudge him. If I was a Beckham, I wouldn't mind them buying me an house or a nice little car. But I would do like that Bentley, mum and dad.
And you'd probably get it, which is the, you know, 21 married, a house and a Bentley. What the hell?
Goals.
Goals.
As well, it's all relative, isn't it? Because to someone of that wealth and fame, it's probably like my mum and dad buying me a meal deal. So really, he didn't want to go queuing up outside Bradford and Bingley to get a mortgage, is he? Come on, he's Brooklyn Beckham.
But that's so crazy that he'll never have those experiences. Like, I don't know, not just him, obviously anyone that's like that kind of rich, they never have those kind of life experiences that many of us do have, that, I don't know.
Of going to the petrol garage and getting like £5 to put into the
town. Yeah. Or, you know, getting that meal deal. I don't know, it just seems really odd to me. It's like, it's such a different world that you can't even comprehend it. It is weird though, because neither David nor Victoria were brought up with money. You would maybe think that they would want their children to earn some of the, you know what I mean? Rather than have it all given to them, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they used to do the chores at home. You never know. But yeah,
£1.50 a week, like I used to get.
£1.50. I think it is probably, especially for people who are born into such mega famous families. The same will be for the Kardashian kids, I'm sure. Mm. When your surname is such a big global name, how do you ever, I don't know what you compare things to, because, and as I said a minute ago, like, of course, if there was an house on offer, or a nice car, you wouldn't say no, let's face it.
If your parent
and they was multi. But there's also that kind of passage of time of having your first job, saving up for something, going on your 18 to 30s holiday, which costs you £150, and getting a fish
bowl. Magaluf.
Yeah, and you get your fish bowl and you all put a straw in and a few euros.
Not anymore, no sharing drinks.
No, not now. But I'm showing up. Yes, we've got to stick with the guidelines. But I think part of that is, I mean, that's our normal, obviously, and that's their normal. But what did you think when you read it? Did you think it was legit straight away, or did you think it was fake news?
I think I knew because, well, they've been together a little while, right? And I think I wasn't like surprised. But he has had some other high-profile girlfriends. He's dated, like, Chloe Moretz and stuff. I think, I don't know. I didn't think fake news, but I just think kind of what you said, he's kind of missing out on some life experiences. I don't know.
I bet she's loving life. I bet she's playing the dress. I bet she's been on Right Move looking at Aussies. I bet she knows exactly what she wants.
Good yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, totally. I believe we have our first guest, Cheryl, ready to come in.
I'm amazing.
Cheryl!
Here she is.
Hello. Hello, Bobby.
Hello, darling. Loving the hair. Glamour-puss.
80s diva and all that.
Looking gorgeous. How are you, Cheryl?
I am fabulous. How are you?
I'm good. Are you in your wardrobe?
I am in my drag room. Yes, indeed. I'm not going to show you the rest of the room because it's absolute shit out.
You've really framed that well, then. You've done a good job there. You know what you're doing. You're a professional.
How long does it take, Cheryl, to look this glam?
I did a face yesterday in half an hour, but we won't talk about that one. I did today's face in an hour and then, you know, just threw everything on. Bob, I'm actually using Harry's palette and stuff today.
Whose palette's that, sorry?
Harry Durbridge.
Oh, lovely.
Oh yeah, he's got a new range out, hasn't he? I've seen about that. Yeah.
Bob ain't got a clue.
What's going on?
He ain't spoke for a little while. Like that with exes sometimes.
Well, yeah, I mean. Most of the time, babes. How have you been? How have you been spending the last few months, Cheryl? What's been going on?
Do you know what? It's been an up-down roller coaster ride, but like Ronan Keaton said, life is a roller coaster. You just got to ride it.
You're an expert at riding things, I assume.
You know me very well, darling. I've just been making the most of it, you know, using this time to get creative, actually having some sleep. I mean, this is the longest we've been in our house in months since Drag Race happened. So yeah. I didn't expect it to be 4 months, but here we are.
Yeah, but so have you been doing kind of online stuff work-wise or what's been happening?
Yeah, everything's just moved onto online and it's been a real adjustment for me, especially seeing as I'm so used to being on a stage and having a crowd to feed off of. But it's actually been quite like liberating because there's no like expectations or pressure to like live up to. Like if you feel the crowd not really feeling it, you amp it up 10%, whereas now I'm in my lounge performing to a green dot. I'm like,
I think that's the best way to be. Yeah, be positive about it.
Whilst you've been in lockdown, have you been watching All Stars, Cheryl?
Darling, I've been watching every single Drag Race there has been. It's been quite nice because it's kept me occupied each week. It's like I've got Canada on a Thursday, Drag Race All Stars on a Saturday, so it's just keeping me busy and the week's flying by.
I've got to be honest, I've not seen any of the Canada yet. How is it? Because obviously Ru isn't on the panel, is he?
It's a very different format. So like Stacey, Jeffrey and Brooke share the judging. So it's not like Ru's decision. They all like write on a piece of paper and pass it along and whatnot.
Very retro.
And then and then the special guest does the walk down the runway and it's like, start your engines. And I'm like, I'm still getting used to it, I have to be honest. But the queens are so good, like ridiculously talented. And it's breathing a fresher breath air into the franchise again.
Yeah.
The same kind of workroom and all the set, does that look identical?
I think their runway looks even better, if I'm being completely honest. So they should get a raise for the set design.
I think there's something like quite nice about the regional kind of drag races is that they do take on the personality of the country they're in, and Canada has obviously really gone for that. That was the same with the UK. Obviously, for you guys, UK Drag Race did really well in America as well, didn't it? A lot of people were watching there. Have you seen your like fame increase? Have you done any gigs over there or anything like that? Was that ever?
Well, I was hoping to get over to the US before Miss Corona had her way, but obviously their president is quite tricky and likes to put things in place and make things difficult. So hopefully when things start calming down and maybe when they've got a different president in, I might be able to get over and do a gig in the US. But I didn't know what it was going to be like over there. Like the reaction worldwide, like Australia really latched onto all of us. And I cannot wait because we had a tour booked in May, which has been postponed to November now. So fingers crossed we could still go. But like that sold out like that.
Really?
Like, little old us.
That's so good though. And I think, but it's a testament to you guys and you know, the people behind the show that it was as successful as it was. I think it was an iconic series, I think.
I was so honoured to be a part of it because I thought, I'll put a tape in, I'll see what happens. I mean, if they like me, brilliant. If they don't, there's always next year. And I was just...
Or not, as the case turned out to be.
I mean, yeah, we won't talk about that. But like, honestly, I think we just went into it with open eyes, open arms and open hearts, just whatever they were going to throw at us, because we didn't know how different it was going to be. It could have been completely different, but I was just so pleased that everybody got behind it and just had a camp old time with us.
Do you all have a WhatsApp group, all the UK queens?
We do indeed. I mean, some are more active in it than others, but you
know others muted it. Some people muted it, do you think?
I can't speak on behalf of the others, but let's just say there's a few of us that are very active in it.
Fair enough. You don't want to sell anyone down the river, I understand.
God, no!
You have been working on a podcast, I believe. Is that right?
I have indeed. It's crazy what you can do being locked in four walls. I mean, when you're on the go and you're moving from city to city doing gig after gig, you don't realise, like, you're forgetting all the things that you want to do because you're just focused on the next place. And now I've had the time to pause. I've always wanted to do a podcast because I love chit-chatting with the girls and just talking some absolute shit, if you don't mind me saying that. I was like, what could I make the podcast about? And then it was like, well, duh, you've got to make it about girl groups because you don't shut up about how much you love girl groups. So I thought I'd put my knowledge, my passion, and my interest in girl groups, and I thought I'd educate the UK and the world, if they're listening, on people like the Saturdays and Girls Aloud, and, you know, name them, I'll do them. Well, literally.
No. Are you kind of, is it just you by yourself, or are you talking with people, or what's the deal?
Yeah, so each week we have a special co-host that does the main episode with me, and they either have a passion for the girl group, they want to be educated about the girl group, but the whole premise is that they're one of my good Judies, one of my best friends, and it's just two gals having a gossip. And then at the end of the episode, we always have one special guest who is associated with the band, so you just have to tune in each week to see if we've got on the pod.
So you're gonna get Cheryl on, Cheryl Cole?
You'll have to wait and see.
you can't do this to us. But I mean, but fair enough, we understand.
Well, I can tell you this week's episode.
Go on then.
So this week we're talking about the Saturdays. Mm-hmm. So we have got YouTube superstar and celebrity master chef Riyad Khalaf on with me. He's one of my good friends. And then joining us, we've got Molly King.
Ooh,
on the podcast.
Exciting. So
I'm very excited for everybody to listen to that episode because we had an absolute ball recalling that one.
Okay. What is it about girl bands you like so much?
I just think it's something that resonates with all of us. I think especially queer people that look to a group of people for guidance and identity. I especially grew up, I went from the Spice Girls to Girls Aloud, and they were big influences on me as a person, but also in my creative life. So through dance shows at theatre school to creating body of works for college and then through university, it's always had an element that has truly inspired now my drag. So I always feel like I'm one of the girls on the world tour whenever I'm performing on stage.
Can understand that, yeah.
There's been a lot of speculation, Cheryl, that there's gonna be, like, for the first time ever, like a merge between UK Drag Race and the States as an All-Stars. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when Miss Rona goes away, is it something that you would be signing up for? B, do you think it could work? And C, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, I think it's one of those shows that the formula is so set out that will work from the get-go. And I mean, I think Drag Race UK had such a success in the US that the jokes might have gone over a few people's heads, but you know what? They loved us as people. They loved our passion for drag. And it's a very different approach to it. I mean, you look at the Snatch Game and how crazy that episode was because of our approach to
humor. Oh yeah, you were Bobby's very good friend, Gemma.
Hello, Bob, it's me, the
JK. It's like she's on the Zoom with us.
No, Bob, I'm in Tenerife right now on a boat. But I think it will be an absolute success if it ever happens. And do you know what? I've said this from the get-go. I said this from the minute I walked out the door. I was like, they could ask me tomorrow and I would throw my hat back in the ring, because I think Drag Race is such an amazing thing, because it's like a time stamp of your life and especially of your drag career. And I think back to a year ago when we filmed it and I went, I've had so much growth. My approach to drag and my passion for drag has grown even more, that I would love to just go, well, this is me in 2019? Yeah. And this is me now, like, and just show the evolution, because you know what? I have no regrets about my time on the show. I had so much fun. I made it to the top four somehow. But I have to say, the one thing that I would like to show is how much I've grown, and my vision towards my costumes and my drag has grown as well.
And so's the size of your hair.
Well, yeah, she's not just a little petite diva anymore.
And then what would you do next on the Snatch if you did it?
Oh God, don't. That's the one thing that troubles me, because I'm like, oh God, Gemma was my only hope.
Could you do Cheryl? We'll see. Could you do Cheryl? Yeah.
Who looks like the dickhead? Not you.
So no, that was a no. Okay, good. what do you make of, there was a little bit of criticism about the lack of diversity in the first series of the UK Drag Race. Do you think that's something that they could maybe deal with on the next series?
I know a lot of queens were very apprehensive to applying for the first season because they just didn't know what they were getting themselves in for. So they can only take on what applies. Mm. So I definitely think after the first season, so many more queens saw how great of an opportunity it was that they were ready to throw their hat in the ring. And we'll just have to wait and see what queens turn up on season two, because even I don't have a clue.
Yeah, because it was literally about to start filming, wasn't it, when the virus hit, I believe, wasn't it?
Your guess is as good as mine, darling.
I mean, I definitely can't wait for it to come back. It was such an entertaining show. Is there, speaking of Cheryl earlier, actually, is there any chance of you ever working with her again, do you think? Was she surprised? Was she shocked by you? What was the deal? Because you obviously did meet on the show.
Well, to be honest, we've had quite a few bump-ins at events, and I got invited to the Greatest Dancer finale, and obviously she was a team captain or whatever they were called, and we were waiting for our Radisson Lee back to Essex, and she came walking into the corridor, and she was like, Miss Hall! She was like, I heard you were here. Let's just say there could be potentially some things in the pipeline when Miss Corona stopped being a little bitch.
Ah, exciting. Yeah, because I think, did you even hint it on the show, like when you were going to see her, you were like super nervous? Because obviously you're like...
Yeah, because I didn't know how she was going to respond. I wasn't sure if I was going to get a cease and desist to me on the runway.
That would have made brilliant telly if you did.
I mean, I would have had to rebrand myself as like Cheryl Mole or something like that.
That would probably work too. So where can we find the new podcast? What's it called and etc.
So my new podcast, Girl Group Gossip, is available on all good platforms. So your Spotify's, your Apple Podcasts, your other ones that I don't know about.
Yeah, got it.
But episodes are every Thursday at 5 PM UK time.
Awesome. Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, my pleasure.
So nice to actually finally get to speak with your babes.
I know, Bob, the last time we met was at the NTAs and you were like, I've gone for a cigarette and then we're having a Jager bomb.
I think that was someone else.
I went, Bob.
Just spilling all the tea.
Obsessed.
I've had an hour's sleep. I need to go have a nap before I go to my next place. You were like, no, we're having a Jager bomb.
To be fair, that sounds about right.
Absolutely.
Right, night, how did you find your first NTAs?
my first and my last. So I soaked it up. I enjoyed every single second of it. I mean, they sat us right at the front. We were behind Jessie Nelson. I was like, she whacked. And I was like, woohoo! And then the camera caught me and I was clapping like the Nicole Kidman.
Fingers apart. Yeah, got you. Well, Cheryl, thank you so much. Do appreciate you coming on.
Bye, darling. No,
we'll check out the podcast.
Love you guys.
Take care. Bye, Cheryl. Glad her puss didn't let us down with the hair. I really wanted to know what wig she was going to have on.
And it was a good one, to be fair. Good very wig. Dolly Parton.
Very Dolly, I thought that.
We have no time to waste, Bob. We have Ian ready to come on now.
Hello. Hi.
How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
How have you been? How have you been finding the last couple of months?
Yeah, it's been really interesting, actually, because I was rehearsing for a tour that I was doing with Vincent Simoni called the Ballroom Boys. And we'd been rehearsing for 3 weeks. And it was literally, we were in Worcester and we were opening in Worcester on the Friday. And literally 2 days before we were opening, they decided to lock everything down. So, and that was, yeah, I mean, that was the 20th of March. So that was supposed to be a three-month tour. So we were supposed to finish on the 21st of June. And of course, we're still basically in lockdown because theatres are not opening. So yeah, it's been very different.
Yeah, so how have you been spending your time instead? Because you had no preparation. You were just like, okay, well, now I'm at home.
No, in actual fact, because I just assumed that I'd be away on tour for 3 months. I actually quite enjoyed the beginning of it because I was just, it was like I was on holiday. We had really good weather and we had we were out on the decking, sunbathing and just enjoying life for like 3 weeks. But then after 3 weeks, I started to get itchy feet and I was like thinking, you know, I need to do something because I'm going to be the size of a house by the time I finish. And so basically I started doing my Fitsteps classes online twice a week. And basically that's kept me fit. So
So
Fitsteps was created by myself and Natalie Lowe. I think you interviewed Natalie.
We had her last week.
Yeah, last week. And so we decided to create a fitness program using ballroom and Latin American steps, all the steps you know and love from Strictly. And that was probably 8 years ago now. So yeah, it's been going a long time. We're slowly growing. We're starting to infiltrate America and France and Germany and places like that. It's been great. But it's like a 45-minute program using different dances from the program. And it's a good workout.
Have you seen an increase in members due to the lockdown? Are a lot more people wanting to get fit?
Well, yes, actually, and it's exposed it to a lot more people because before, you know, we were kind of struggling to get people to become instructors. But since then, every month we've been doing a live virtual training and we've had about 20 a month. So it's really kind of picked it up. And so it definitely has, yeah.
Are these steps you can do at home on your own without a partner, or do you need to have someone else there to do the moves with?
No, you don't need a partner. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I did it, is because I knew that dancing got you really fit. And there were loads of women saying to me, oh, you know, I'd love to go dancing, but my hubby won't do it. He won't dance, or my husband won't dance. So I thought there has to be something for those women that want to dance ballroom dances, but on their own. And it was the perfect solution.
Well, that seems to be working because people are doing it. I have to say, my one problem at the moment is I completely lack any motivation. This is an ongoing thing that I've had, that I've been discussing week after week with various guests. Is this good for people who don't necessarily, they might have two left feet or they might not be natural dancers, they can still get a bit of a workout anyway?
Well, you know, I've had ladies in my classes who were terrible in the beginning, and now they're actually quite good. I mean, it's taken them like 2 or 3 years, but
Wouldn't be any good on Strictly then.
No, that's a long time. But when they're only having one class a week, it's not actually that bad, is it? So they do. It's just repetition. It's like anything. The more you repeat it, the better you get. And we've seen that like on Strictly where you've had people that really couldn't dance and you've seen them get better week on week on week because they're just rehearsing it all the time and they're just improving their skill.
Yeah.
Speaking of Strictly, we were speaking to Natalie last week, and I'm sure you've seen in the press, there's been a lot of speculation that we're going to have two same-sex couples this year. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think
Because I like, joking around, I was like saying, I'd be really interesting to see two girls dancing together. You know, because we've seen the two boys on Dancing on Ice. Wouldn't it be great to have two girls dancing together? But that's the first I've heard it. I think it's a brilliant idea. Why not? Why not, you know, because in this day and age, we should mix it up a lot more and it'll make it much more acceptable for people to see it. And I think people got used to it on Dancing on Ice when they saw Matt and H dancing together every week. In the end, you just looked at their performance. You know, in the beginning, it's weird because you're so used to seeing the form of a man and a woman dancing together. It is strange. I say weird, it's just different because we're not used to it. But actually, once you get used to it, then you just start judging it for what it is and whether it's a good dance or not.
Yeah, because they could still be rubbish dancers.
Regardless of gender. As a professional, is there certain moves you would have to change though? Is there certain things that just physically two men would struggle with or certain dances?
I mean, you've got the lifts and stuff like that, and so they're much heavier men normally than women. But also it can be more creative because you can swap roles during the actual dance. So you're not restricted to just the female steps or the man steps because they are different. So you could swap halfway through or, you know, every different step you could change roles. So then you can make a really interesting dance.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. That's exactly those kind of things and how people react to it. I did see a story in the press that apparently, I don't think it's been confirmed yet, that they might be cancelling the Christmas version this year of Strictly because of they wouldn't having to quarantine everyone for 2 weeks just for a one night show would probably be a bit too involved. What do you think, or have you heard anything?
Well, it is a bit much, but I don't know. I mean, you know, why not? If they get them all tested and they just have to... I mean, normally we only do 2 weeks before the Christmas special anyway. So it would literally be 2 weeks of quarantine, would it be 2 weeks of quarantine? You get tested and then you've got to spend 2 weeks in quarantine.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's actually like normal.
Oh, is that... Oh, really? Okay, well, that's fair enough. Maybe...
If you're... You have to be like for 14 days, isn't it? And you don't know whether you've got it or not.
I think it's a little bit sad, Jerry. It has been confirmed. I kind of think it's quite a big part of Christmas, Strictly. But this whole Strictly this year is going to change. Like, the whole length of it and the start date's changing, isn't it? But I guess...
Yeah.
Due to the current climate.
I think that's probably a wise decision because, you know, as time goes on, it sort of... things get opened up and it gets more acceptable to be in public, more acceptable to be in a room with people, in shops and blah, blah, blah. Even though, you know, I think, you know, they're starting to put restrictions, aren't they? So now we're going to have to wear masks in shops and stuff. So I think it could very well get worse before it gets better. That's the only problem.
How would you felt with the isolating with a celebrity for a couple of weeks before, Ed?
I don't think it would. I would mind really, because I used to get fed up with the travelling. You know, when we had a celebrity and they were like living an hour and a half away, and I used to drive there every day. Like I had Penny Lancaster, and she was in Epping, and I used to have to go round the M25 every day, and it used to take me like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, stuck in traffic, and it used to drive me mad. And then 6 to 8 hours practice. It was. So I wouldn't mind that, actually. I prefer it. I prefer just being in one place. I mean, they'd have to find a very big venue, wouldn't they? Like a big hotel with rooms.
Like a Big Brother house.
Yeah, they'd have to be bigger than that. You think about it, they've all got to rehearse, so they've all got to have their own room.
Yeah, true.
They've all got to have hotel rooms. They, you know, it's got to be a big place.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you, I'll definitely watch it.
Well, will you still be involved in this year's series, as you normally
are? Yeah, so this is my 10th year, actually, doing It Takes Two with Zoe. Oh, and Ryland now, because Ryland joined...
Oh, yeah, he joined last year, didn't he?
Last year, yeah. And I do my own little slot on a Wednesday and Thursday called Weights Warm Up. And basically, I get to see all the couples' rehearsals before they actually do the show on the Saturday.
And I've seen you, and you've got your little stick, and you're pointing out people's steps. Yeah,
yeah. I get to critique them, which is nice. I mean, you know, in general, the pros are really good. There are some pros that don't like you saying anything against them, but they can stuff it.
You want to name names? We'd be happy to.
Most of them are gone now.
Would you ever be up for doing the main show again? Do you miss it?
I don't know. You know, the thing is, it's so difficult, isn't it, now? I do miss it. I really miss it. And in the first couple of years after I stopped, it was dreadful. But I did a lot of specials, you know. So I did a lot of Christmas specials and a lot of children in need stuff. And just helping them out when they needed it, if somebody needed a partner. So I feel as though I sort of carried on for quite a bit afterwards, about 4 or 5 years after. And so that kind of got me out of it, really. And I think doing It Takes Two and doing Footsteps and touring, because I do a lot of touring. So I could be touring like 5 months of the year. So I think that's, you know...
You're still involved in the world, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. And I still get to see them all on a Wednesday and Thursday on the show. So that's nice. So I still feel very much involved and I still love it. And this year, I'm actually in the annual this year for the very first time in 10 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They rang me up and they said, we'd like to do a page about you in the annual because you do a lot on It Takes Two. And I'm like, God.
Finally.
Would you consider being a judge? Because we hear that there's going to be a place free on the panel. And Natalie was saying last week she'd like a pro or an ex-pro to do it.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great? I mean, I'd love that slot. And I think, to be honest, with social distancing, it's quite handy they've only got three because they could have them a metre apart, can't they? But yeah, I'd jump at the chance. I mean, to be honest, it's what I do on It Takes Two. I just critique them every week. So I've been doing that for 10 years. So it'd be a piece of cake.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd be good at it as well. I think you'd be a natural choice.
I think it's about having that balance as well of critique and encouragement at the same time, so that they feel as though it's not all sort of doom and gloom and they've got something to work on still, even if you do critique them.
Do you think Bruno will be missed, though?
To tell the honest truth, I love Bruno for the entertainment value, but nothing else.
Why?
Well, because he doesn't really say anything technical. He's not really the technician on the panel. It's like how many arms can I flail around and how expressive can I be? He's very expressive. He's very funny, and I think that's a great part of the, you know. I don't think it will be the same without him, but I'm happy to stand in if they need somebody.
Fair enough, we get that. What have you made of Motsie since she's been involved?
I think she's brilliant, actually. I think she really wears her heart on her sleeve, and she's really... she just says it how it is, which is quite nice. And I know, you know, normally when you're a new judge on Strictly, you get a lot of pressure. There's the audience. It takes probably 1 or 2, maybe 3 years for an audience to get used to them being a judge. With Darcy, her first year was terrible.
Yeah, I remember.
But then within 3 years, everybody loved her. So I think she's done a brilliant job because everybody loves her already. You know, she's funny and what she says is very expressive, and she's all about feeling, and which is great. I'd love to see that because she comes from a woman's heart about how she feels as a woman, as a dancer, which is lovely.
Yeah, get that. Well, Ian, where can we catch Footsteps and when's it on again?
That's why I'm all dressed up, because I've got a class tonight at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday and Thursday.
Got it.
7 o'clock. So yeah.
And we can find it where? On your Instagram?
It's on Instagram, on my Instagram Live, and also on the Footsteps Facebook account on their page. So you can go on there. And just like the page and then it'll come up for you and you can join in.
Awesome. Amazing. Well, Ian,
we've got to
really
come check it out next week, give it a go.
straight after the show. Yeah, just treat myself to a little routine. Ian, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the interview.
Cheers.
Bye, Ian.
Hey, what a nice guy. He's
bless him.
He's, I always think whenever the Strictly people come on, they're always very open and honest and happy to talk about their time on the show. Well, I mean, definitely doesn't seem to be any love lost between him and Bruno Tognoli, does there? But
definitely not. He wants that seat. He wants that chair.
He does. But, you know, this is the world of professional dancers. They're no fuss, no mess.
I think he would be very good as a judge.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like you said, he's got plenty of experience judging on the sideshow to do it. So, yeah, it'd be great.
It's intriguing to see who they will actually go with now, because there's been so much speculation.
I reckon in the end, they'll probably just keep it to three, you know. Because I think getting in someone else is like another person to worry about in the mix of people, isn't it? I don't know.
That's true.
Just a thought.
And three can work, can't it?
Certainly can. I believe we have Jess and Dom ready to go.
Hi.
How are you?
We've had one of those days. A lot's gone on.
Right.
But we're getting there. It's nearly bath time, bedtime.
is that a relief when you get to that time of day?
Yeah, it's kind of like the naps seem to be getting smaller and I don't really know why. So yeah, it's kind of like that'll be our 2 minutes to ourselves.
How is mummy life treating you, babe?
It's interesting. No, it's amazing, but it's a lot. And he's like a really exciting but exhausting stage of like he's just started to walk, so there is nothing that is off limits, and yeah, it's just non-stop, never naps, he's up very early still. We've not mastered sleep like every other mum seems to, but
that is not true. They're lying, Jess, I'm telling you now.
And then first try mum during lockdown as well.
Oh, I know, don't, it's crazy. I will say, we were saying earlier that, like, normally this is like when you go to all your play groups and you soft play, you meet other mums and other babies. And obviously, we haven't been able to do any of that. So it's kind of like Dom and I stuck in the house trying to raise a child somehow.
Well, has this been where it's called Tiny Happy People, isn't it? You hello.
All right, Dom.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right.
This is why I really don't ever think parenting's for me. But tell us a little bit about Tiny Happy People. I've been seeing it a lot on the news today because you're in the same group as Kate Middleton now.
I mean, can't explain how much.
No, it's some pretty good company to be keeping. But no, it's amazing. We got involved with it earlier in the year before lockdown all happened and all that. And when they reached out to us, it was just something that really appealed to us. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of the thought of going to play groups. And I think I was a bit apprehensive about all of that. And it was kind of activities, especially as a first time mum. Like, I've got friends that have got kids and obviously family, but you don't really know how to, what to, what you're doing at all in any sense. So it's one of those things that when they contacted us and we heard what it was all about and we sort of, we looked into it a bit, we couldn't not be part of it. It's so great, and it's actually really scary to hear that, like, because it's 1 in 4 children start primary school without the, like, full literacy skills that they need, like, to be able to just have conversations and make friends and stuff like that. And I think that's something that needs to be combated. So anything we can do to sort of
that's what the website helps with, is it?
So it's just, it's all about talking more to your baby from, like, bump to birth to all the way through, and like I was one of those that felt so weird when, like, I had a bump or when the baby was just born and didn't really react or give you anything really back. I felt weird talking to my bump and, like, singing to it and whatever. And my mum's like, literally, while you're just feeding the baby or while your bump's just there, and you just put on some music and sing. And it just, like, it's simple ways like that, or, like, singing as you go around the park or talking about the animals that you see and stuff like that, which you can just implement into your daily life. That,
such simple things, aren't they? You don't necessarily think of, but even like bath time or just, like you say, just going for a walk and seeing cows and just making a noise a cow makes and then they sing, like...
Learn to associate, yeah. And it is just about talking more to your baby, and that can be a daunting thing, and sometimes you feel a bit silly doing it, but the activities are so easy to follow that you can just, you have activities done in 20 minutes and you're helping your child's development. So
yeah, great.
Sounds amazing. And there's a lot of people that have got on board with that recently now.
Hi, Bobby, didn't you see you there, mate? Sorry.
How are you, Tom? All right, mate. It's been a while.
We've got a baby coming for us. There's so many amazing people on board, isn't there? Yeah. I honestly, and there's like some other mums that like I've met or followed as well, like Louise. Just moving up away.
That's okay, don't worry.
No worries.
Sorry. It's like a laptop. It's one of those things that they, for some reason, just love. But
Buttons, that's all it is.
Cats don't stop going on your keyboards either, do they? Anyway, like Louise is part of the whole campaign too, and she's like such a great source of like mum information and just like real down-to-earth chat that like she's another person that I really love, and I didn't actually know it was on board until I saw it, and I was like, oh yay, another person that I actually watch and enjoy their content, and she's on board with it as well, like it must be good.
And that's a great time for it to happen as well, because whilst most of us are at home with nothing but time on our hands, and people, especially like yourselves, first time parents, to have that time that we're not going to get again, it's a great idea.
No, definitely. And I said it, to be honest, I think we're a weird generation where like it is scary that is being stuck at home and maybe not having the social like side of the parenting, is that going to affect like baby's development? Like all these babies have been stuck in the house with their parents, and it's using tools like this which can really help utilize the time.
It can be daunting, can't it? So obviously your child's not in school anymore or not in nursery anymore, and what do you do even when you're at home, because usually you're at work and you're just preoccupied, aren't you? So
but it's such a great handy little tool, especially in lockdown. And I'm saying going out and walk seems to be everyone's everyone's like saving grace. Like everyone loves to go on a walk at the moment, and that's our favorite thing to do, and we're really lucky that we're in like quite a nice area where we're in a lot of countryside, and that is such a great way to interact with your child and talk to them. Even when you do your grocery shop, like I keep seeing people who obviously have to take their children to the supermarket with them, but we go around and I talk through what we've got to get, and daddy wants this, it's just encouraging you to do things like that, like little silly activities which benefit you so greatly, and all of it. So there's either no cost because it's using stuff you've already got, and obviously the whole platform's free anyway, and it's not time consuming. You don't have to read like a 400 page parenting book to feel like you're going to be an okay parent. That's another scary thing.
I have to ask, is there just the one child? Because there this seemed to be this crazy rumor recently that there was more than the one. Everyone, like you was hiding a baby somewhere. And I thought,
I commented on a post and I said, it's Jess's birthday. I was Christmas birthday. He said, mother. Amazing, mother of my children. We've got dogs, we've got a rabbit.
We've got her baby. And they will always be the original ones.
Long before this little devil come along.
The people was really thinking that you had a secret child somewhere.
You couldn't keep the first one a secret.
I know.
Or you had a twin. You had twins and you're only talking about one of them.
Definitely.
How funny. How do you think, you guys are obviously like a reality TV success story. Like, why do you think that is? What is it about you? Is it just, you know,
no, I think
the it's connection?
Obviously, Jess is amazing. She, like, I'm even better. no, I just think it's because, like, from the get-go, we kind of, it's like, we moved in together and we kind of, like, made our own little bubble.
We became each other's, like, main support system and family, like, from the start. I think that's a big thing, like, going through this crazy whirlwind of, like, an aftermath of a show like that, and you didn't really know what to expect, and I think having, like, a best friend, boyfriend, confidant, whatever, that was there with you from the start meant that we kind of had each other to experience it with together and survive it, I guess, in one way.
Especially because the series that you were in was, I mean, it was right at the beginning of it being massive, wasn't it? So it's like huge when all of you guys kind of came out.
Yeah, I hadn't watched the series before, so I had no clue what I was getting myself in for. Just literally, I hadn't heard of the TV show or anything. And then all of that happened, and it was just crazy.
And I think being in there, you had like when new people come in, you had rumours that like it's big and that, and you just never kind of fathomed how big it was until you come out.
No, you could never appreciate it.
Yeah.
Does it feel weird for you both to watch series now? Obviously, you're together, you've got your family, you're married. Do you sit on the sofa and watch the show now? And like, can you believe that's where it all started for you? And do you see it differently? I mean, I know you didn't watch it, Jess, before, but Domi, did you ever see it before? And how does it now compare? Because you kind of know the secrets.
No, I watched it quite a bit, to be fair. Like, I knew the kind of like the gist of what goes on and stuff like that. And that, like now, I think coming out of it, it doesn't feel real. Like I look back and think, did you really do all that? And it feels, honestly, God, it feels like a complete dream, mate, to be fair. Like looking back at it, like now when we watch it, it's just like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. You can't, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was like a different life. I'm like, we talk about like filling the baby book in. It's like, how did your mum and dad meet? And I'm like, we'll reconvene on that, what we write there.
Yeah.
But, it is so mad to think that we met on a TV show and somehow it's worked and they knew us better than we knew ourselves and whatever. But I think I do see the show differently now, and like I watch it and you kind of know what might be going on sort of like in the contestant's head, or not behind the scenes because there wasn't really behind the scenes, but you know what I mean. And it is weird. But we also, I feel like we're still never right though, in who we think will last and who's real and who isn't.
Pick who? I feel I could put the house in it, but they're gonna pick him. It's like, I think the year after us, when Adam had the choice between, I think it was Rosie and Kendall, I was like, Kendall's got to pick Kendall, and then Kendall went home.
Yeah, and we couldn't believe it. We were as shook as everyone else.
How do you feel about reality TV in general now?
It's one of those things. I feel like it was a great part of our lives and I love it. And
Is
he all right?
Uh-oh, everything all right?
No, just had a bit of a tumble.
Oh, bless him.
Honestly, right. Walking is dangerous. Like, there's new bruises every day. I think, do you know what? I love watching reality TV. It was such a big part of our lives and I love it, but I'm not sure there's a space
I'm not as eager to do, like, before the violin, I would have done anything. You could have literally, you know what I mean? I would have literally done anything. Right. And now I'm a bit more reserved of it. I think, is that right? Will I do?
I think there's pros and cons. I think it's so entertaining and it is amazing. But I think it changes your life in so many ways. And there are, as with everything, goods and bad sides.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it so much for like the fame side of things. I do it for the experience. So like we always spoke about certain shows that we were doing of like SAS or Bear Grylls, something that like test me or push me, something that I think I would enjoy to do rather than, you know, just doing it for the sake of it.
Yeah. That's understandable. Well, guys, it's been great talking to you. Thanks so much for ruining bath time.
All right. Sorry about at least you didn't have to smell the nappy at the start.
Yeah, thank God there is no such thing as smell-o-vision.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks,
guys.
For having us.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Well, I mean, they seem like such a genuine couple, don't they? Like, it's really worked for them, I think.
Bless them. And this is the thing, even though, and the irony with Love Island is, I mean, because the name is Love Island, but so little relationships kind of get to the point where you see the marriage.
The real life.
It's lovely to actually see that from such a massive show, actually some and very few get to the point where it does get to the point where it's marriage and babies. It's lovely.
Well, that is the case for them. So well done them. Yeah. Maybe I need to go on a reality TV show to find someone to go on a date with. Jesus Christ. So what are you up to this week, Bob?
Do you know what?
Bugger all.
Yeah. couple of training sessions, just trying to keep up this fitness now. So going for a run, going to have a little train. But
I'm extremely jealous that you've got the motivation. I just lack it so badly at the moment. I was doing so well before lockdown. Now I just want to play the PlayStation. That's all I want to do.
You're doing well already the last couple of weeks from what you're doing.
But that's just calorie control, you know. I'm all right when it comes to like a set rule, but I don't have to do much. It's just not cooking as much food. Do you know what I mean? I don't have to leave the house to do that. So, I mean, when I have to go back in the studio for this show, I don't know how I'm going to cope. To be honest, it's going to be a whole different ball game. We'll see.
You're in great shape anyway. Don't you worry.
I don't know about that. You're very kind, Bob. I appreciate your kind words, but you're also a liar. So. well, Bob, as with last week, it was an absolute pleasure having you again.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And really appreciate it. And until next week, everyone, goodbye.
Take care, everyone. Thank you.